Tomorrow, don't miss it, UFC 245 in Vegas. Three title fights, the main event on pay-per-view, has Kamaru Usman defending his welterweight title against top contender Colby Covington and Max Holloway and Amanda Nunes, putting their titles on the line starting at 10 Eastern. You can order the main card in English and Spanish at ESPNplus.com/PPV. And be sure to download the ESPN app if you are watching on your mobile device. Meanwhile, what you were watching last night was what I think has to be without question considered the best story in the National Football League. And we are there and other places in this hour of Get Up. As always, live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And here we go for hour number two. We're getting up with Lamar Jackson and the coronation. MVP. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's yours. We'll start with him. It's an incredible story. And then, with their season on the brink, the Cowboys watch a film to try to turn things around. We'll tell you what they watched and whether or not we think it's going to work. And then, I'm going to be forced to say something about one of my favorite players ever, because it is true and there's no longer any escaping it. All that and more in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. And it starts in Baltimore. Ravens, Jets, Lamar Jackson on the doorstep of history in so many different ways. And first order of business, he needed 23 yards last night, Lewis, to break Michael Vick's single season rushing record for a quarterback, and he got 20 of them here.
Yeah, and why does he get 20 of them? Because one, they put the defense in conflict with the way they call their play. And two, people don't want to play this team very physical because they'll punch you right in the mouth, and Lamar Jackson just runs wild.
Now, here's the one that breaks the record. So with this five-yard gain, he's got the record, but there's the big hit.
Exactly. That's what you need to do to this guy. And look, I know we want Lamar to stay healthy, but that's a good, clean football play. And if you don't start doing this to this young man, he's going to be doing this for a long time. As far as just ripping your heart out, as far as the way he can run the football.
Well, he would rip their heart out. The Ravens would cap that drive with a touchdown, and then here comes another one. This one to Miles Boykin.
I mean, just look at that. He's just playing around. It's like he's in his backyard. Then I'll just, you know what, I'll stop here. I'll just slide up in here. I'll just throw this little sidearm pass right here and get a touchdown. You know what, no big deal. It looks so easy now.
It's his 29th touchdown of the season. Ravens would miss the PAT, so it's 13-0. Third quarter, Jets fumble deep in their own territory. Ravens are up 21-7, and Hollywood Brown is open in the back of the end zone.
I don't know how Hollywood Brown, there's a reason why they call him Hollywood, or he calls himself Hollywood, because he likes to show, he likes to make big plays, and they were turning him loose all night long.
That was Jackson's third touchdown pass of the night, but he was nowhere near done. Ravens next drive on a 3rd and 8, they throw a short pass, they got a 4th and 1 from their own 29-yard line. In what is still, I guess, really a game. And Lamar Jackson says, let's go for it, coach. And they're not even going to run for it. They're going to throw for it and pick it up.
This is what Mark Ingram's talking about. This is that big trust that they have between players and coaches and players and players and coaches and coaches. And that's why he's dancing and having a good time, because he knows he's going to pick it up.
Look how much fun these guys are having playing football. Later in the drive, this is fun, too. How about the throw to Seth Roberts?
Yeah, and then just top it off to this. And then everybody's dancing and partying. They are in such a groove right now, Greeny. This team's dangerous, man. This team is dangerous because right now the best player is playing his best football and everyone's just following his lead.
Think he was done? Think again. That was his 4th touchdown. Here comes the 5th. On the same night that Lamar Jackson broke the rushing record for quarterbacks, he threw 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah, again, this is just a sign of football here. There's no reason the Jets should be turning loose the running back in the flat like this. But this is what happens, man. They get you just on a roll, and then you just can't do anything about it.
And then, like, practically every member of the Jets wanted a signed jersey from Lamar Jackson.
How many did he bring out there?
He had quite a few of them out there, and in the end, the Ravens, a huge win.
Lamar, how's it feel to break Vic's record?
It's pretty cool. My favorite player growing up, but it's amazing, and I'm going to cherish that forever. No record's meant to be broken, like he said. I heard him say that, and it's an honor for me to do it.
Mar, you also tied a franchise record for most touchdown passes in a season. You tied Vinny Testaverde.
Throwing them.
And then with throwing records.
No running records. Besides the rushing record, but throwing, that's amazing.
I guess it's safe to say the quad's fine.
Like I said, you guys should have trusted me. Should have left it alone. I told you I was good.
I mean, listen, so the comparisons to Michael Vick are what they are. But if you look at what was Vick's best season in 2006, it's not even close. Lamar Jackson is already way more passing yards, way more touchdowns responsible for. His season with 2 games to go has already greatly eclipsed the best of Michael Vick. And for another fun moment, here was John Harbaugh last night with our buddy SVP.
Players play really, really hard, and they execute the system, and that's what it's all about.
Hey, God.
Yes, sir.
Trust.
Hey, coach, how do you?
Big trust. Big trust, baby.
Hey, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's my guys.
I mean, so all of us who only watch the sport or cover the sport for a living, that's the part of it that I feel you miss out on. When you're winning, look how much fun they're having.
Look, when you're just watching that, I mean, I feel myself. I'm just smiling. I'm just sitting there cheesing at the highlights because you want to be a part of something like that. You want to be like where your best player has the trust of the head coach, and the head coach is smiling, and everything's just that's what we miss about football. I mean, that's what you miss about the game. Your boys having fun.
I know
fun.
That
what
feeling.
Exactly. Oh, I know you guys do that.
I was with Mark Ingram back in New Orleans. Yeah. We had a lot of fun.
No, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
I mean,
and to your point, Greeny, it's only fun when you're winning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was never fun when you're losing. When you're winning,
for sure.
A lot of fun.
But so let's try and come up with some things to say about Lamar Jackson that have not yet been said. Just send him the MVP award now. There's no reason to even continue discussing that. They're going to be the one seed, and his season is off the charts. How did everyone have this as wrong as they did? You cover the college game for us, Jonathan. 28 teams passed on him. He was the 32nd pick in the first draft. 28 teams actually passed on him, including his own.
Well, Green,
the Ravens didn't take him the first time.
They didn't have it wrong. When you saw him, we all scouted and we looked at him. He wasn't as good of a passer as he is now. That was just the facts. Now, the issue that people had were some scouts said, well, let's move him to wide receiver, not anticipating that he would get better as a passer. And he said, no, I want to be a quarterback. So what did the Ravens do? They pass him, as you said, then pick him up and say, all right, we're going to work on his accuracy, his throws in tight windows. And he's done that. And because he's done that, he is absolutely lethal now. He is a deadly weapon on that football field.
Let's just bear in mind here, he's 22 years old. 28 teams passed on him in the draft, and four quarterbacks were selected ahead of him in the first round.
Because one of the hardest things to quantify when you're evaluating players is their desire to improve. Like, some guys are going to come out and they're a finished product. They're really talented, and that's probably the worry that a lot of people have with Lamar Jackson. He's fast, he could run around, he could do this, but was he really willing to put in the work to start studying the game, to be able to keep his eyes downfield? Like, he didn't need to reinvent himself or change himself, but he needed to get better from last season to this season. He wasn't ready to go last year, and so, you know, at the end of the year, he had some struggles pushing the ball outside of the numbers. This year, they built the offense around him. He's fully inundated himself with that, and because of it, you see this success. He understands what he has to do. And the biggest thing for young quarterbacks, a lot of times, they throw bad interceptions. You saw Sam Darnold do it last night. Like, he's not putting his team in bad situations. He's worked to eliminate the low parts of his game. And because of
real
that,
quick
it's
to
really
that,
good.
It's everything that we don't see in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And the time that he put in, and that's a credit to him and the coaching staff, more him, because that's all the stuff that wasn't on camera we don't know about.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. As a scout, two things you can't miss on when you're evaluating players. You can miss on assessing their ability on the football field, but you can't miss on football character overall. There's football and personal. With Lamar, we're talking about football character, his desire to want to be great. You can't miss on that because the people will tell you, if you kind of dig deep enough, just how much he wants to be great. And you can't miss on medical evaluations. You have to get that right as far as your evaluations of players. But so Lamar had the football character desire to work. Now, here's the question. Were teams willing to go ahead and say, look, we know what he can't do. We know what he needs to work on. We're going to build an offense around it and kind of break outside of our traditional way of thinking. Many teams weren't. Many teams were like, I'm not going to do that. John Harbaugh was. Steve Bisciotti, the owner, was. Greg Roman was. Marty Mortenwick, who was there as the offensive coordinator, was. And no one, you never heard any dissension coming out of there about, well, this coach wanted him, this coach didn't. This coach didn't want to build a new offense, this coach did. We've heard that from many teams. Well, actually some teams. And then what that does is that seeps into the psyche of a young player. He doesn't feel as though the team is backing him. All of a sudden, his performance starts to go this way. With Baltimore, they handled it perfect. And now you're reaping the benefit of it.
Well, if you think about Greg Roman, it was plug and play for him. When you think about where he came from before that, remember he had Colin Kaepernick. He also had Tyrod Taylor at Buffalo, and Tyrod Taylor did very well. So this was easy.
And remember,
they
now,
said, hey,
this
look,
is
take this guy.
This is the cultivation of a relationship that goes even beyond Greg Roman. Again, James Urban, the quarterback coach there, John Harbaugh himself, the owner, Steve Bisciotti, the ex-GM, Ozzie Newsome, all these people had a hand in making sure that Lamar knew that they were in his corner. That's the most important thing a franchise can do for a quarterback like this. That was a project, and they aced it.
And you talk about this, you're watching the highlights of Hollywood Brown running right down the middle of the field, and the question is, how does that happen? A guy that everybody knows is their big play guy. Well, here's how it happens. Because you have Greg Roman who understands this. Hey, they're going to start playing cover two, bring the corners up to help pin him in. What's that going to do? It's put linebackers running right down the middle of the field. So I'm going to take my fastest guy and run him right down the chute in your face.
Look, I'll say that I've been covering the sport a really long time. And for a player to have people, serious, credible people, suggesting that he should change positions and then 2 years later be the runaway MVP of the league is one of the most remarkable stories I can remember in a really long
but
time.
But if you look at guys like that, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, like guys, Aaron Rodgers, they're drafted lower than what people thought.
Right.
They use that as motivation.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you're being stubborn when you do that, Greeny, and you're saying this. I think the game should be played a certain way at this position, and I'm not going to change my mind.
Exactly.
And now you're having to go, oops.
That's it. There's a lot of oops going on around the National Football League right now, and there's one team that I think is a clear-cut favorite to win the whole thing, and it isn't this one. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. It's been a tough road for Dak Prescott the last three games. Week 12, Patriots, New England's pass rush gave Dak all kinds of issues. He was pressured on a season-high 35% of dropbacks, and you'll recall they didn't score a touchdown in that game and lost. The next week, Buffalo dials up the blitz, sending a member of the secondary on 12 dropbacks. That was the most times Dak Prescott has been blitzed. They forced an interception and had two sacks on those pressures. And then last week against Chicago, he completed a season-low 55% of his passes. It didn't help. The Cowboys dropped three along the way, tying their most in a game this year. And they've not been able to target Amari Cooper, who is supposed to be their star receiver. Over the last 3 weeks, on throws over 10 yards, his Dak's yards per attempt is 3 yards less, and his QBR 40 points less when targeting Cooper compared to everyone else on the team.
I mean, obviously thankful to still be in the position to control our destiny. But yeah, we've got to get a win and we've got to play well. Simple as that. And momentum is something serious. We can get it on our side. This has been a streaky team in years. So you got to get that first one to get the second one. That's kind of just the mindset of focus on the day. Let's focus on now. Let's focus on this week. I'm not worried about the rest, and we will when that comes.
All right, so they play the Rams this week, and Bobby, I know you put together a tape for us this week to suggest that it may not be so pretty again.
Well, Dak Prescott's been phenomenal this year, but the last 2 weeks, outside the numbers, when he's been throwing the football, he's been one of the worst in the NFL, completing around 50% of his balls. Not great, so let's take a look at this. Here in the red zone, all the defenders are within 6 yards. He has Amari Cooper locked up on a corner one-on-one on the perimeter, and so this is where they got to be in sync. As he's throwing the ball, the corner is high on him. This should be a back shoulder situation, but instead, he chooses to throw it deep. Amari's looking for it. He knows he can't get over the top. It's an incompletion. Now, they're playing the Los Angeles Rams this week with Jalen Ramsey. They've been one of the best teams since he came in over on a trade on defense. You see him here. Mitch Trubisky runs a little play action, draws up the linebacker up at the top of the screen. You're going to be able to see Jalen Ramsey keeping eyes back, understanding where he's going to go with the football. Slides through there, makes a great break, breaks up the football. He's going to be locked up on Amari Cooper a lot this week, and it's going to be a rough situation, a rough go there for Dallas. That's why I think the Rams, they'll be able to maybe ram their way into the playoffs.
And for the Cowboys, they could wind up losing another game. They could be 6-8 and still have that Philly game sitting out there and wind up winning the division. But here was what I teased in the open. Jason Garrett, who maybe he's tried everything he can try, put together a film of just all of their good moments, like clips of them succeeding this season, and showed that to the players this week.
That is his last motivational tactic.
Do you like it?
I don't like it. I mean, I know what it is. I don't like it because I know that I've experienced that before with Eric Mangini when he was on his way out with the New York Jets. It was the same thing. We're digging all the way down in a bag of tricks to try to motivate the team, and it's over with. It's done. It's set in stone. Jason Garrett will not be there next year, and now he's trying to figure out how to salvage his team and hopefully go on this quote-unquote streaky run that the quarterback talks about.
Here's the only thing I can say, Lewis, is that all of us can sit here and say, oh, they're done, they're terrible, coach getting fired. But inside that building, they have to be saying, look, guys, we still have a chance. The division has not run away from us.
A chance to win
the division, get in the playoffs, and see what happens.
You're right. They do. And what he's trying to do.
If you were on the team, you'd feel that way.
Wild card game. It doesn't even matter.
He's trying to do this. He's trying to tap into what their intrinsic motivation is. Like, look, guys, I know you're not listening to me. Okay? I'm not firing you up. So how about this? How about just watch yourself succeeding? And then you guys go home, and we talked about this last hour, and just be pros about it. Just go ahead and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to have some pride in myself and try and perform better here. That's all he's doing. Because right now, he don't have to say a word. It doesn't matter.
Oh, they would have done 5 weeks ago. That's what
you're right.
Saying.
I mean, that's the question about these guys. It's like, where's the trigger for all of them?
We
don't know.
They're in a similar situation last year. They're 6-5. The Saints coming to town. The Saints are rolling. And they win a nasty and ugly game, 13-10. And so they have loads of talent. I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
Their own quarterback says they're streaking.
Unless they're hoping to catch fire.
He said it, yeah.
I mean, I will just say this. It's going to be an unbelievable story when they play Baltimore in the Super Bowl. Okay, let me move on. Let's talk about the New England Patriots. They are currently being investigated by the NFL for inappropriately filming the Cincinnati sideline during Sunday's Bengals game in Cleveland. The Patriots have acknowledged a three-person crew producing a web series titled Do Your Job didn't properly inform the Bengals of the filming, and of course it is the Bengals that the Patriots will play this weekend. For more, I want to bring in Mike Reese from Foxborough, who covers the Patriots for us. And Mike, how has that locker room responded to this recent investigation?
Well, Greeny, the message in the locker room is really from the players. This has nothing to do with us. Longtime safety and captain Devin McCourty compared it to Deflategate in 2014. He said this is completely different. He said back then that felt like a direct shot to the players because people felt like that was the reason they were winning on the field. He said this one is totally different. And Greeny, I would just give you a feel for the locker room. It is anything but tense. Walking out of there yesterday, the linebackers were gathered together after a long day of work, and the biggest thing on their mind was, how do we get together a team bonding dinner over hibachi?
Okay, so the Cowboys are putting together movies, and they're all going out for hibachi. I mean, one way or another, there's different ways to try and do it. Let's talk, however, about the struggles that do matter, and that is another challenging week for that offense. They scored 16 points last week in a loss to the Chiefs. What is the team doing to try to rectify their problems on offense?
Well, the first thing I heard when I walked in the locker room this week after that game last week was from an offensive lineman who said, that performance was on us. We have to be better. For all the talk about the weapons around Tom Brady, if we don't play better as an offensive line, nothing will matter. Greeny, if they're held under 30 points Sunday against the Bengals, it'll be the seventh straight game for them that happens. And according to our great ESPN stats and information department, that would match the longest streak in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era going back to 2005. But I will add this. I walked out of the locker room with Tom Brady a couple days ago, and Greeny, he's staying upbeat despite these struggles.
All right, Mike Reese, so well done. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you after the game this weekend. Let me bring it here and I feel like I want to phrase the question this way. We all watch every game they play. They're the spotlight team. And to watch them play right now is to think there's no way this offense is good enough to get this team to the Super Bowl. We see Kansas City and Baltimore and some of the other better teams. Can they, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, figure out some answers on the offensive side that gives them a legit chance to make it to the Super Bowl?
I don't know if they're going to really just stumble upon something or rather they're going to be able to hit some kind of performance level, consistent performance level that makes you go, man, they figured it out. New England's going to win by complimentary football. They're going to win by blocking punts, getting timely turnovers, grinding out a drive here and there. Tom hits a big play. Sony breaks a big run. And they're just going to have to outlast you. But you know what? I think they're built to do that. They're conditioned to play that way, and I think that's going to be the only way they're going to be able to get to where they want to get to.
And so everybody makes a big deal about Rob Gronkowski not being there as Tom Brady's weapon. But like last season when he came back, when he was healthy, they were able to run the football and do a terrific job of it. Over the second half of last season, they were able to pound the football, second in the NFL in rushing, 150 yards a game. That's a huge difference from where they're at right now. They're 29th in yards per rush. They're not able to get it done, and that was the change they made last year. That's not a change that's going to be able to happen this season. Bill will usually find something, but I'm just struggling to figure out what that potentially could be.
Yeah, they don't do anything well on the offense.
They don't, and Bobby stole my thunder here with running the football, but I will say that they can get it corrected because it's a lot easier to correct the offensive line when you have seven guys, right? It's a seven-man front. You block him, hear the assignments, stay on your block, than to say, all right, wide receivers, these are the various coverages that you have to worry about. This is how you have to break your route off. So running the football, they can get that corrected. It'll be done.
Here's what I want to come back to your original point, Lewis, and that is it's all well and good to try and win games by blocking punts and grinding out a drive here or there, but you're not beating Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson 16-13, right? That's just not the way this thing is going to go, right?
Yeah, probably not. But I will say this. Look, again, in those two games, okay, we're looking at the Baltimore game and we're looking at the Chiefs game. Baltimore game, again, people, when you watch that game and you go back and watch it, they were in that football game, and they had some timely turnovers and penalties that really cost them. They got them out of it. In this game, they had a touchdown taken away from them against the Chiefs.
Two of them.
They earned it.
Yeah.
They earned them and then didn't get the points for them. So I'm telling you, whereas they're struggling, you know, considering what the standard of performance is up there in New England typically, they're still there. And they still have the greatest coach and the greatest winning quarterback of all time. So you can never count this team out. I don't care how ugly it looks.
And a great defense.
That's right. And no matter how ugly it looks, don't count them out.
It's your brain doesn't want to do it. Like, you can't, right. You can't function.
And nor should it.
Yeah.
Because they'll make you look silly. I'm telling you, both of those games, they had their chances. They weren't just blown out where you just go, they stink.
Right.
They were right there.
All right, we'll see what winds up happening. We have a lot more football on this Football Friday coming your way, but there's another story this morning, and that is that former NBA Commissioner David Stern is hospitalized today in New York City after suffering a brain hemorrhage. The city's fire department responded to a 911 call in a Midtown restaurant yesterday afternoon and rushed the 77-year-old Stern to Mount Sinai Medical Center, where he had emergency surgery. There's been no immediate word on his condition. Stern was the NBA's commissioner from 1984 through 2014. He was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2014. We will have much more as we continue on Get Up This Morning. More football. Lamar Jackson cementing his status as MVP. Is there a blueprint to stop him in the playoffs? We'll try and figure that out as we go. And someone's going to win the NFC East and host a playoff game. But should they? One coach has an idea that would fundamentally change the sport, and I hate it. You'll hear it as we continue. Get Up on ESPN. Back to last night and redemption. Thy name is Jamison Crowder. Guys, take a look at this here. Jamison Crowder dropping a sure and easy touchdown in the corner of the end zone. But, boy, they come right back to him, and he's got the best response.
And I saw that live, and I'm like, I felt almost bad for him. You have one that's that wide open. And then you see him make this catch, like toe touching there. I couldn't believe he got it down. Unbelievable catch.
That was, and that was a great throw, too, by Sam Darnold.
Crowder's actually had a terrific year. A lot of bad things have happened with the Jets this year. He has not been one of them. Meanwhile, as we continue this half hour on Get Up, we will try and figure out exactly how much Lamar Jackson should play these last two games of the season now that he's sewn up almost everything. Do they want to change the playoff structure? I've got a terrible idea. And Aaron Rodgers' thoughts on his season and more as we continue Get Up on ESPN. Laura is back. It is
look what's happening right now. Look.
I'm far too important to actually walk. The baseball fans in New York got the only coal they could possibly want in their stuff. Thank you. I worked on that all morning. People out there who will forever believe the Patriots are cheaters.
We used to cheat, but since we got caught, we don't cheat no more.
There are people out there who will forever believe that that was inflated and was, I didn't mean that that way. And
they are in trouble, and I can't wait to see them get beat in the first round.
Gee, what's
Let the record show, I just spilled water all over the desk.
Let me see if I can peel my wet paper off the table here and carry on.
I went to UConn to put UConn football on the map.
Was that in disappearing ink? Because I don't
see Find mom, I hate you.
Every woman should find a man who loves her as much as Jalen loves his own hair.
Your hair is better than mine.
Well, I know that.
There's no quarterback in college football playing better than Trevor Lawrence.
Did he really just say that?
It was cool. And I can't even say the second half of that.
This conversation will likely continue through the remainder of our day, but it won't be on TV. A lot of fun here this week.
What's up with Dan's glasses? Did you guys make fun of him for that?
Yes, of course. We make fun of Dan for something every day. It doesn't matter what it is. The real question is, who has better hair, Jalen or me? That's really the question of the day.
Who loves it more?
We should know. Well, I mean, that's easy. No one loves anything as much as Jalen loves his own hair. And that, you know who told me that? His wife told me that. All right, let's take a look at what happened last night, the Jets and the Ravens, and it was all about Lamar Jackson, who began the night needing 23 rushing yards to break Michael Vick's record for single-season rushing by a quarterback, and he would do it quickly. Here were 20 of them right off the bat, Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, look, once he gets out on the perimeter, we say it over and over again. It's off to the races with this guy, because now you're playing just exactly how he wants you to play.
And this was the one that actually breaks the record, this five-yarder here. But it's also the one where he takes the big hit.
That's his toughest run of the night. That's what every team should be trying to do, knock him around, be physical with him as much as possible. Unfortunately, nobody's been able to do it.
That would be capped by a touchdown, and then later on their first drive, later in the first quarter, here he is running again.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about here. Once you get him out in this space where he's controlling the action, you're at his mercy.
More Lamar Jackson. Look, there's just no stopping
this. It's the same thing. I mean, just look how quickly they're on the edge. Where are the defensive backs? Where's the support players? Where are the force players? Until you answer those questions, Lamar's going to be doing a lot of that.
Lamar Jackson had 86 yards rushing last night, broke the record for a quarterback rushing, and threw five touchdowns. and he drew the attention of a lot of people, including Tom Brady, who tweeted, "Me versus Lamar, 40-yard dash on natural grass, but he has to wear rollerblades. Who's buying the pay-per-view?" Lamar heard about it during his post-game press conference. Here was his reply.
"He probably can win that race. Rollerblades on grass? Yes. Oh, man. I'm going to see what I can do. Tom still got a little bit in him. I seen him.
So, I mean, listen, passing Vic was not the only milestone that Lamar Jackson achieved yesterday. This season, he has rushed for more yards than Tom Brady has in his career. And as for who could win that race, since 2016, Brady has had five career rushes that have reached 15 miles an hour. Lamar Jackson has had 84 of them this year alone.
I don't think that stat's even accurate, because I don't know if he could even hit 15 miles an hour at any point in his life. At any point.
84 runs to 15. Tom, you're the GOAT, though.
Okay.
You're the GOAT, dude.
This is right. Okay. Yeah. Anything that makes Lewis laugh, I think, is phenomenal. Anyway, let's do this, because teams are now going to have to try and figure out a way to stop this in the playoffs, and there were good teams. And they're not just going to say, well, we're dead. There's nothing we can do.
Sure.
So what are you going to do? You're designing a defense to stop Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, first and foremost, look, they put you in conflict, right? So you better know what your assignments are as far as who the force players are, who the primary support players, the primary field players. Football on defensive side is very detail-oriented, and you have to know what to do first. Number two, get him turned back inside in the run game, which means this. Corners, guys who like to cover, you have to strap up, you have to put your mouthpiece in, and you have to get off blocks and hit this guy. Because if you don't, he's just going to step out of bounds, 15 yards, step out of bounds, 20 yards. You need to turn him back into guys like this, standing right here next to me. Linebackers who are running inside out, who are sitting there running like this. They're basically running like this. Please hold him up. Please hold him up. Please hold him up. Because when they get there, they want to put the hammer on him. If you don't do that, and you don't put him in third and long, Bobby, it's over.
No, you've got to do it. You've got to stop the run, first of all. People talk about, you know, throwing. He's thrown 40 touchdown passes. We're going to put that on the back burner, because he was only tackled on two of his eight rushes. So you've got to find a way. So first of all, you have to play zone defense. You have to have every guy dropping have his eyes back. Lewis hit on it. Corners to tackle. You have to turn him in, build the little dome, and force him into a funnel so that you have your linebackers and your D-line. And you got to tell them before the game, this is a 100% effort game for you. There is no loafs. You are running inside out every play, because the spy is not going to work on this guy. I was able to get Michael Vick a couple of times, but that's not something you want to live with. And then lastly,
look at Bobby talking to him.
Well, hey.
Yeah, I put it on you.
When you tackle Michael Vick, that might be one of the calling cards of my career. But you have to pray for some inclement weather. And you look at what San Francisco and Baltimore, like, hey, pray for the rain so he can't throw it on us. We can sell out to stop the run, because a spy on him doesn't work, because he does such a good time, unlike Vick. Lamar Jackson right there, he would have looked at me and then just throwing it over the top, and it would have been a touchdown.
You have to make him a thrower. Now, people will say, well, look at what he's doing. You know why? Part of the reason why he's gashing people throwing the football is because they don't know what to do. Because now, when they run play action, when he's in the pistol and he's riding that ball in there to Mark Ingram, what you see is the second and third level defenders sit there and go, did he hand it off? Is he pulling it? And once you hesitate that long, that's why Marquise Brown is standing back here going, throw it to me, I'm wide open. You have to stop the run first, because if you don't with him, he will kill you. And that's what he's doing right now. So people, stop. All defensive coordinators, they say this, first defensive meeting, you better stop the run. With him, you better stop the run.
He has two games left. The rest of the AFC contenders have three. They have almost salted away the number one seed in the AFC, so we'll see how much of him we see the last couple of weeks. Meanwhile, the 6-7 Cowboys currently have a 67% chance to win the NFC East. And if the playoffs started today, they would then host the 10-3 Seahawks in a playoff game. Many people don't think that's fair. Among them, the Denver Broncos head coach Vic Fangio, who has this other idea.
I don't think there should be divisions. I think you got 16 in each conference. Everybody should play each other once. And that's 15 games. Okay, and then if you want a 16th game, you play a natural rival from the other conference. You know, Jets and Giants play every year. Eagles, Steelers, you know, Texans, Cowboys, et cetera, play every year. And then keep it at 16 games. But you'll avoid the problem that's going to happen this year, where probably an 8-8 team is hosting a 12-4 team.
So that's pretty radical, Coach. So He's saying no divisions, separate the teams into two conferences, you play all the other 15 teams and one non-conference rivalry game, and then you give the top six teams in each conference the 1 through 6 seeds. I will just put this, I guess, in the form of a question. What does everyone think of this idea?
Wait, you mean turning the NFL into Major League Baseball before interleague play? Like, baseball came out of the dark ages so that everybody could play. The fans could see it. The players could play each other. They've got friends. Like, those were some of the best games that you may only get to play them once every 4 years, but it's something that you look forward to on the schedule. And think of the best game this season, the Super Bowl preview, the San Francisco 49ers and Baltimore Ravens. Would you want to be cheated out of something like that? Like, that's a game that you want to see every season.
Does anyone like the idea? I don't even want to spend a lot of time on this unless someone likes it.
The idea is okay, but I agree with you, Bobby, and I look at it from the financial aspect because that game rated very well. That game is what people are paying big bucks for to watch those types of games.
Look.
They're going to get it.
The idea is terrible. It's a terrible idea. Like it was on the old show, Mike and I used to have a thing. There's a big difference between changing something and tweaking something. The NFL situations don't need to be changed. That would be completely throwing everything out. They could tweak it. I presented this week the Greeny rule. Not that complicated. Leave everything exactly as it is. Mm-hmm. Seed the teams exactly as they will be. Still reward the division champion with a playoff spot. But give home field advantage in the playoff to the team with the better record. Yeah, so if Dallas and Seattle wind up matching up, just play that game in Seattle.
I hear what you're saying. The fans are arguing that they don't even deserve a – whoever wins that division doesn't even deserve a playoff
and I'm
spot.
Disagreeing that, with them. Yeah. I'm disagreeing with that. Yeah. So maintain the sanctity of the division. Let the Cowboys or the Eagles wind up in the playoffs, but don't make the Seahawks play a road game against a team that won six fewer games.
Greeny? I agree with you.
Come on.
There's one person that knows this better than anybody.
We can call it the Greeny rule.
It is the Greeny rule.
You would like, let's say...
the green alignment.
Well, let's look at the NFC North, for example. Yeah. You have a bunch of teams above 500
right.
there. You're still okay with a team above 500 going out of the playoffs.
Correct.
Because... the Cowboys at 8-8
yes.
won their division?
My plan would not change that. I don't love
no,
that
No, I'm
it
saying
happens,
would you like that. You would still be okay with that.
I like it.
Well, I don't want to make that fundamental of a change
right.
because it happens once every now and again. I understand that's an imperfect situation, mm-hmm. but I still think there should be something to winning your division.
Here's the thing. The only person that has any room to ask and talk about this at the table is the guy in 2010.
You were on the team.
He was part of the Beast Quake.
I was trying
to avoid
this.
Went up to Seattle.
Did Marshawn Lynch run over you on
he
that play?
He did not run me over. You see my face. No, that will never happen. No. All right, he did not run me over. But, yes, they got the best of us. So when we were 11-5, we went up there, and they were, 7-9?
You'd much rather have played that in the Superdome.
Can we move on, please, to the next subject? I don't want to have this bad memory.
Okay, I'll move on to this. Coming up on Get Up, Aaron Rodgers has been so good for so long that it is going to pain me to have to tell you something about him I would never have imagined I needed to say, but we will coming up next. And then one of our analysts has a bold prediction about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs that the fans in Kansas City are not going to like. All those and more on the way. Get Up on ESPN.
The NFL's oldest rivalry, Packers and Bears.
Bear Week was much more intense than any other week.
We tried to knock each other out of the game.
Pick the side, pick the side. Only two options, be with the winners or the other guys. We came to battle, we came for war.
I did a lot of talking in August about the scorched earth tour I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to take around a league that had spent its summer talking about all the great new quarterbacks and seeming to forget about the old one. Turns out, however, maybe I was wrong and they were right, because here's the truth. Aaron Rodgers has been an average quarterback for a while now. This year, his QBR places him 16th in a 32-team league. He is sandwiched between Kyler Murray and Jameis Winston. His yards per attempt, which is number one on Bill Polian's list of championship indicators, is also 16th this year. It's 19th over the last 2 years. It's 22nd over the last three. And his team punts on 43% of their drives, which is 27th in the NFL, one spot behind the Bengals. Now, all of this was supposed to be Mike McCarthy's fault, so they fired him. Or it was the defense's fault, so they spent $154 million on that. Or it was the running game, except Aaron Jones is tied for second in the league in touchdowns. Then it was the receivers. But they have the highest separation rate in the league. They are getting open. And then the offensive line is number one in the league in pass protection this year. So maybe, just maybe, It's actually the quarterback. Here's one more stat. Aaron Rodgers' completion rate on tight window throws, the stuff that made him a legend, is 31st in the sport this season. So this is what I want to say now. The season is far from over. The Packers are going to be in the playoffs, and I am hoping against hope that number 12 recaptures all of the magic that made him, at his best, the best quarterback I've ever seen, because he has been a far cry from that of late. And when my friend Stephen A. calls him a bad man, I do not want that meant literally. Those are my thoughts. Let's bring it out to the table here. I'm looking for a reaction. I know I'm going to get a lot of it. Vilma, I'm looking right at you.
Wow. That's my first reaction. I completely disagree with Aaron Rodgers being average, because you can make the stats say and do whatever you want them to say. So if you're looking to find average stats, that's what you're going to find, because that's what you want to talk about. But the truth is, Aaron Rodgers is still a top five quarterback in the NFL right now. You talked about Aaron Jones with rushing touchdowns. Well, Aaron Jones is 18th in rushing. So you can't tell me that the running game has improved oh so much. Then you look at the system that he's in. With Mike McCarthy, you had levels routes, which means one guy low, one guy high, and he would fit it into whichever was open. It's not like that anymore. Then we talked about receivers getting open. That's just complete BS. I've watched the film. There is nobody sitting there separating at an alarming rate. You have maybe Davante Adams. Outside of that, there is nobody there. And I'm saying nobody there is in deep balls, which is what made Aaron Rodgers so great and so famous, what we saw before. So that's where I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers playing within the system. Oh, by the way, only 2 interceptions. That's what I love. Only 2 interceptions. He is giving his team every chance to keep winning.
Yeah, Aaron's not the same off-schedule creator magician that he used to be. There's no question about that. He doesn't have the same kind of weaponry that he used to when he was at his heyday. Jordy Nelson's not there anymore. Greg Jennings isn't there anymore. Randall Cobb isn't there anymore. He doesn't have those types of guys. James Jones not there. He doesn't have those guys that when plays break down, or when he makes them break down because he wants them to break down, they know where he needs them to be, and then he's putting them in those 50-50 catch situations where these guys are coming up with great plays. They have one guy really who can win contested balls right now, and that's Davante Adams. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is not doing that. Geronimo Allison is not doing that. Jake Kumerow is not doing that. And this offense, you know what? You make a good point. They are not a deep strike offense. They are a quick game offense. They are a screen offense. And quite honestly, as much as Matt LaFleur was supposed to turn this offense on its head and make it much more creative, it's quite honestly, when you watch it, it's rather boring. It's rather static.
Yes.
It almost looks old school West Coast. Now, 2 weeks ago against the New York Giants, they went to a lot more play action pass, which kind of generates more deep shots, and he threw 4 touchdowns in that game.
Yes, the New York Giants, I could throw 4 touchdowns.
But you know what? It isn't so much just about the team. It's about the play construct. It looks different. They have to do some different things in order for him to really pick it up from a stats production standpoint, because right now this offense is very static, and it's not just on Aaron.
Well, they have to help their secondary weapons and improve those a little bit as well in the offseason, but am I mistaken? Are the Green Bay Packers still not leading the North?
10-3.
I mean, they're on pace to win the North, which is...
Well, Greeny's burying them.
Yeah, one of the most competitive divisions.
He's burying it.
I'm doing nothing of the kind. I am speaking facts.
Well, no. You are. But I think the best part about it is the fact that Aaron Rodgers, he's thrown 23 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
That's a fact.
He has a better defense. He has a great running attack now. So maybe he doesn't have to go out there, Lewis, and go try to win every single game. Isn't that what
you're saying? And he looked a lot better off a play-action pass last 2 weeks ago. That's a fact, too.
Another fact. Thank you. Matter of fact, who would you put top 5 better than Aaron Rodgers right now?
Maybe 4 more.
Yes. There are any number of players. Who he has, as I mentioned,
Who would you put right now, Greeny, top 5, if you don't have Aaron Rodgers there?
Oh, well, I mean, this season, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson.
Deshaun Watson looked pretty average last week.
Right now, would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, if you had equal weapons.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Would you pick Aaron? Okay, you said, look, I need to win this game.
Let's just look at Aaron Rodgers' arm. Is it still alive? It is a live arm every time.
I mean, I see
right?
your point,
okay,
Greeny, but I think there's just a lot of other nuance involved with it. But I see your point.
I think there is an element of we don't want to believe sometimes what our eyes are seeing because we admire the guy so much, and I think that's what's happening.
You made me stay up until 3 in the morning watching film on Aaron Rodgers. Make sure this argument, my eyes didn't lie to me when I discussed it.
You're portraying him to be Michael Jordan with the Wizards right now, and that this is more like second three-peat.
There are people who believe exactly what you're saying, that he is on the downswing.
Okay.
There are many people who think that.
This conversation, this discussion was so good, we just floated the bold predictions.
Yeah.
And instead, we will lay out in 3, 2, 1.
I say, is there anyone else?
She's gonna come for the belt, and I have to be ready for everything, and I am.
Finally, the fight you've all wanted for so long.
We can do it right now! Where are you at?
Champion that's young and hungry and keeps getting better every time we see him.
I'm the best on the planet.
He's not impressive. He sucks at fighting. And December 14th, I'm going to expose him.
I'm the best welterweight on the planet.
Tomorrow, UFC 245 in Vegas with three title fights. The main event on pay-per-view has Kamaru Usman defending his welterweight title against top contender Colby Covington, plus Max Holloway and Amanda Nunes putting their titles on the line starting at 10 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV and be sure to download the ESPN app if you're watching on your mobile device. Meanwhile, big fight night at Madison Square Garden on Saturday, headlined by WBO welterweight champ Terrence Crawford defending his belt against undefeated Mean Machine Kavalauskas. Crawford sat down with us earlier this week talking about what the fans can expect to see at MSG.
You could expect to see fireworks, as always. You know, I'm going to be sharp in there. I'm going to be smart as well. And I'm going to give the fans a good show. I feel like I'm growing each and every fight, and I feel like there's a lot left of Terrence Crawford that the fans have never seen before.
You will see it tomorrow night. Top Rank Boxing, three big fights scheduled, headlined by that man, WBO welterweight champ Terrence Crawford, defending his belt for the third time in our main event against undefeated Mean Machine Kavalauskas. 9 Eastern from the Garden on ESPN, the ESPN app, and ESPN Deportes. First Take is just 6 minutes away. Coming up, Stephen A. and Max will share their impressions of Lamar Jackson. Plus, who will win Sunday, the Cowboys or the Rams? It's First Take. It's 6 minutes away here on ESPN.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have.
We ask you to help join us, ESPN and the V Foundation, in the fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Okay, so just a few moments ago, if you're with us, you heard us mentioning that the winner of the NFC East this year will have the lesser record, but will host a playoff game. And famously, that happened once before. Jonathan Vilma's New Orleans Saints had to go play in Seattle. And we thought that perhaps the most famous play, you know, in recent memory came in that game. Jonathan, wow, you could take us through it.
Oh,
here
wow,
it is.
Really?
Vilma, where are you here?
I'm right there. I take on the block, and then the miss tackles.
And then what happens?
You know, this is an ambush. I don't appreciate this at all. I don't appreciate being ambushed like this. Yes, this was beast mode. Yeah. He became famous off of beast mode. I get it. You know, God.
You can give us play-by-play on everything but the very last second.
I've tried to take this completely out of my mind. You guys keep bringing it back up. Greeny, I'm just not your friend right now.
Well,
We're not on speaking terms.
That's because you disagreed with my Rodgers take. Anyway, that was the legendary Beastquake. It caused an earthquake because that game was being played at home. If that game was being played in New Orleans, is there any way they would have beaten you?
I'm not talking to you. Okay. You got to pass it over to Bobby. I'm not talking to you.
I'll help him out. I think they'd win if
he's
in for it.
Okay.
Get under the bus.
That was a success in every way. Hey, don't forget tomorrow, Army, Navy, one of the great traditions in all of sports. They'll play it in Philly. College game day will be there. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take continues now.